KSDP 830 AM, Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201DA 88.1 FM, King Cove.
For two decades, Wesley Schultz and Jeremiah Frates have been writing songs, recording, and touring together as the Lumineers. But, as Wes says, their relationship goes way beyond that.
I mean, it's 20 years, and we also grew up in the same hometown where he was friends with my younger brother. I was friends with his older brother. So it's like, I remember family trips where you and your brother came with us.
Vermont.
Coming up, Wes and Jeremiah talk about the latest journey they took together, making the new Lumineers album, Automatic. They'll perform songs from it live, including this track, which is about their long, close relationship.
It kind of talks about, like, the struggles of, like, literally, like, if I go this way, he feels it with this, like, rope. And sometimes it's almost like the rope has, like, a barb in Wes's stomach and vice versa. He wants to go left, and I'm like, I want to go right.
The Lumineers, today. I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe. You can find us at World Cafe on your social media. Here's Kids, MGMT. This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. The first single the Lumineers released from their new album, Automatic, is called Same Old Song. And when you've spent two decades working together, like the Lumineers singer-guitarist Wesley Schultz and multi-instrumentalist Jeremiah Frates, it could be easy to fall back on the same old songs. But the chance to self-produce their new album, Automatic, meant they had a whole new level of creative freedom. And coming up today, they'll talk about the fun they had in the studio, the way their songwriting has changed over the years, and about their unique relationship as bandmates, friends, and almost family. You'll also hear them perform songs from Automatic live, beginning with Same Old Song. Recorded in front of a live audience, this is the Lumineers on World Cafe.
Hey mama, would you pay my rent? Would you let me crash in your basement? 'Cause any one of us could make it big or could end. Ever wonder what your parents meant when they told you grandma's in heaven? 'Cause I don't feel it like I did back then, in a black sedan of depression. Everyone's alright, I cannot afford to see the light. I don't know what's wrong with me, I killed the moose so naturally. The guests begin to make me feel. Same old song, we sing the same old song, we sing the same old, same, sad song. In the prayer where the tongue gets black like a starving mouth of the innocent, you said the bullet water was not that bad. Jacked up into the instruments in the broad daylight. They popped the trunk and left the keys behind. All the cops pretend they can't never see my mom get called. I don't know what's wrong with me, I killed the moon so naturally. The best begin to make me feel. The party has been done for hours. I'm laying on the battlefield, spilling all my guts below the motor. Same old song, we sing the same old song, we sing the same old song.
For the World Cafe, the Lumineers, Same Old Song. It's from their new album, Automatic. I'm Raina Duris. Today, I'm joined by the Lumineers, Wesley Schultz and Jeremiah Frates. Welcome to the World Cafe. Welcome back, I should say.
Yes.
I know you've been on before. Same Old Song, a rollicking song, but kind of a dark one. One of our interns mentioned that they saw people debating on social media whether that song was a fun road trip song or a gut-wrenching sad song about the existential dread of death. Do you want to tell us which one it is?
That song, for me, was like a smattering of, like, memories over the... And then the anchor is the idea of a same old song. Like, we come back to these songs that, you know, give us some weird level of comfort, even if they're sad. But, like, I mean, our bandmate Stealth sent me a podcast about a girl who went down in a plane. Like, the plane crashed. She somehow survived in the Amazon, I think. But her mother passed away and other passenger passed away and she somehow like made it out alive. And it just like stuck with me. And then my kids asking me like, what is heaven? Like all these, us getting robbed back in 2011. Mm. There's like, it's just almost like a, I never saw the movie, so I shouldn't reference it, but everything all at once or whatever. Yeah. Like where I've seen when the preview where it's like your system is like getting hit with all this stuff. That's kind of what I like wanted to do with the lyrics, because the drum has like such a like a drive to it that it's disorienting, and then you anchor it with this.
Right.
Of course. So,
it's
kind
of like overstimulation or being kind of overwhelmed, right?
Yeah.
But it is an interesting way to open an album. It's also the first single. How do you see that setting the tone for the rest of Automatic? Leslie, you want to take it? Or?
I think, I think maybe part of the tone that I like is that it involves a lot more drums. You know, I think Jer can play drums as well as anyone I've ever met, if not better, you know, like, but he's like able to put ego aside and like serve the song. And that's like, I think the best bands are able to do that together. And he's always been doing that, but it showcases some of what he can do on many instruments, but the drums in particular, where you'll hear a lot more drums on the record, which I really love because it contrasts against some of the older records, which are just like, it sounds just like stomps and claps.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a richer thing to pull from, you know?
I mean, this year, 2025, marks about 20 years of songwriting of me and Wes, starting out in Little Ramsey, New Jersey. And it's funny, I think a song like Same Old Song kind of accomplished, in my mind, what we set out to do with the song Submarines on album one.
I believe submarines.
Submarines, the original demo had this da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it was sort of fatiguing and unsustainable. It had this sort of weird time signature.
Like to play, you mean?
Just to like produce the song. Like
listen
once
back
the, you know,
this,
like I feel like a Lumineer song. People ask us, when is a Lumineer song done to you guys? I think the litmus test is like in its most basic answer to that question is like when the song can work just with Wes's singing over a single instrument, whether that be guitar, like a song like Ho-Hey works really well just on the guitar.
I've been trying to do it right. I've been living a lonely life.
A song like Ophelia, you could play just on the piano.
Oh, Ophelia, you've been on my mind, girl, since the flood.
Arguably all of our songs, I think you could play just on one instrument. So Same Old Song, for example, once it's done, we were like, what if we could get away with this, these drums that are crazy? And I think that like with Submarines, it had this, when we took away all the drums, it had a better story from a production sort of standpoint. I think Same Old Song, once you start with those crazy drums, you're sort of like, how do you dress it up? And songs are funny. Songs are sort of, working on music sometimes is easy because the song will really quickly tell you what it wants and what it doesn't want. So it would be really quick to reject an idea rather fast, like, no, stop, or keep giving me drums. I like that. With Same Old Song, we had this sort of drum loop, and then I went in there almost to like try something, but also make the guys in the control room sort of laugh.
Right.
You know, you're just in a studio, you're like getting out all this creativity, and I did like a really crazy take.
It was like Keith Moon.
Yeah, it was like kind of this like really like ADD, just crazy, you know, electric drumming. And was sort of like, all right, let me do a real take. And I think the feedback was like, yo, that was actually, there was something to that. Try that
like,
again.
We liked the crazy one.
Yeah, and it was kind of the whole, making the whole album, I've never had more fun with Wes ever writing and recording the songs because it was a lot of that. It wasn't like, in the past, you know, I think it was like strangling the ideas, which I think at times we needed to do that. I think the first two albums come to mind, like working on an idea so psychotically and exhausting every, like literally every other iteration to the point that we knew this was definitely, at least in our minds, the best possible version of the song. Whereas on this Automatic, it was really being playful and, you know, trying to find that sense of youthfulness now that it's our fifth album, now that we're, you know, approaching middle age, now that we're fathers of two kids.
Well, I'm really glad that you brought up the, like, how you know if a song is working. Because I know this is the first album you guys co-produced, right? Is that Lumineers?
In theory.
Yeah.
I think we always were making our own music. And then there's the word, and I'm taking nothing away from any producer, especially the ones we've worked with. But I think there's a collaboration that happens, but there's also, like, I think when we're starting out, we don't want to step on anybody's toes and we're just happy to be there. But I think because we were home recorded for maybe 7 years, just me and him, we had to do that. So it's like, I think it makes for a better artist when you can at least know some of how to, like, what you want.
Yeah.
And someone's not just like, we'll do this next and it's paint by number. You want to have, so I thought it was really collaborative. And again, like, it's nice when nobody's ego's threatened. They're just looking for the best idea.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse. It's like out of a bad movie about a band when someone's like, where's my solo? And you're like, well, we don't need, you know.
Like the ego stuff.
Yeah, that limits what you can accomplish. In the same way as a team, someone's like, on the Eagles, if it was like, well, I didn't have any receptions. Like, did we win? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to win and those players drag you down. Like, it's the same in a band in some ways where you kind of need to shed all that if you really want to get beyond that. Because it's really nice to not have to be suspicious of people's reasons for liking an idea. It could get poisonous, you know?
I'm talking to Wesley and Jeremiah of the Lumineers on World Cafe today. We're going to hear you perform a song that grabbed me immediately when I listened through. I think it might be my favorite song on the album, So Long.
Nice.
Could you tell us how this song came together before we hear it?
Yeah, that was like a buzzer beater, I want to say. Like, we didn't know if we had enough songs to make the record towards the end. And we're like, oh, remember that? We had done this Neil Young tribute record, and we were somewhere in South America on tour. And we, you know, ducked into a studio for a day and kind of reharmonized his Neil Young song, Sugar Mountain, and added some chords. And then as we were doing that, I was like, we got to do something with this. This is like a similar thing happened when we did a Leonard Cohen tribute, where the way we were playing this guitar and the way it was tuned, that became Salt in the Sea. It sometimes happens. You're doing like a side project or like an assignment, basically. Like you're trying to pay tribute to your hero, and then you're like, oh, I would never play this chord, but I'm playing Neil Young's song, and now I want to do it. So
they're a hero for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's like because they write interesting music.
It's incredible. And we play it on it's called a White Falcon, and it's like his very signature, Neil Young's like has a signature sound in part of the 70s, and it's that. That song's played on that, and it was written in kind of a fury, like a very flurry, like very fast. I remember sending you some ideas in the morning, and then that day we called our bass player, and he said, we're recording this. And then we just did two takes, and then done. If you listen to the album straight through, it has some of the highest level of desperation and energy, because that, you know, similar to Angela on our second record, those buzzer beater songs that you record last minute, that they're not promised, you don't even know if it's going to turn out well, there's a searching in the dark element that is really exciting as a listener. So that's our favorite too. It's cool when people resonate with it.
I mean, you can feel this song. Let's listen to the performance. This is the Lumineers performing So Long live for the World Cafe.
Find songs of
Jacobson on the violin right there.
Performing for a World Cafe audience, that was the Lumineers live doing a song from their new album, Automatic. It's so long. Jeremiah and Wesley of the Lumineers are here with me today. I'm Raina Duras. Like you said earlier, you started playing together about 20 years ago. This tour, big venues, you're playing, you know, arenas, amphitheaters, big spots. How have you had to change the way that you think about performing when you compare it to how you started out?
I feel like it's a little more, when you're in a stadium or an arena, it's like exaggerated, as the best way I can say it. Like, I remember someone likening it to, they were explaining the difference between television and being on like Broadway or something, where television, they pick up like the smallest twitch of your, you know, muscle in your face. And on Broadway, you have to like really gesticulate what's happening. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like you're a silent, you know, silent actor. So for us, like, if in the past we were trying to communicate an emotion, it's just a bigger expression of that. And then a lot of it, I would say, is like someone, this stage designer named Sooner, she's been with us since like the beginning. She works with all these amazing bands to this day, and she's built this amazing career. But when we started, she was kind of starting too. Now she does Coldplay. She's just like anybody who has crazy. I just saw Green Day. She did theirs, but she helps to sort of communicate that as well. Like, does some of that heavy lifting that I think, I would say, a band like U2 really pioneered. When you'd go to a stadium show, I'm sure pre U2, it was a little boring.
It wouldn't be as much of a spectacle.
Yeah,
yeah.
They made it an event and like engaging for the back row. So I think that, and then maybe people, especially Bruce Springsteen and Tom Petty, seeing them in big venues as a young person and being like, wow, they pulled me right in. I felt like I was just like in their living room.
And they wouldn't need, I mean, a bit, like Springsteen doesn't necessarily need that spectacle. He can pull in the back row just from his performance, right?
Yeah, so he's telling you a story. He's telling stories. He's talking to you like you're next to him. It's like, I think there's a combination of a lot of that influence.
Has it changed how you write at all when you're thinking about playing to huge rooms versus little clubs?
On a personal level, I don't think so. I think I won't name any specific bands, but I swear you can, certain bands that have sort of veered off the path and kind of slightly broken my heart, like you feel like they get really big off a song middle or late into their career. And then they're like, we're a big band right now. We want to play stadiums. There's this great like TED Talk. David Byrne talks about when you're starting off small, like CBGB's The Living Room. Punk music, fast music works really well and does not work well in, like, say, you know, a big stadium. So big stadium acts like Journey's a great example. It's like these kind of mid-tempo, you know, slow kind of
ballady.
Ballady type songs that work really well. And you can kind of see bands sometimes that do that.
Like reverse engineer it.
Yeah. Like we want to be in the stadium. I mean, I swear, I feel like Wes and I as a writing duo, as a writing team, we're just lucky that we've sort of literally always made what we just like selfishly, truly. And then it seems to resonate with people that got our foot into the door of stadiums.
Well, Jeremiah, I'm so glad you brought up that David Byrne TED Talk, because that was exactly what I was thinking about when I was thinking about that question that I wanted to ask you, because it is so interesting to me how the acoustics of a room can change the way that you are playing.
I would say, too, like, to that point, the early, if you listen to the album one, it is very, we're writing while playing gigs that mostly involve house shows, so like busking style. There's not really typically microphones. So if you listen, that whole album is not so much sung as it's like shouted at someone. Now that we have microphones, we can be more and more have quiet moments. But it was like, looking back, I was like, I can't do it unless I'm shot. They won't hear me.
There's a bar we played, I feel like, at least twice down here in Philadelphia. I don't remember the name. I feel like it was like
Puck. Are you talking about?
No, but like in proper Philly, like something with maybe a name, something Brenda's. Or...
Johnny Brenda's. Yep.
Was that here in Philly?
Yes.
It's that old boxing
game. Those are the types of clubs that me and Wes and the band, we were starting off at. And you're sort of like, we would literally get off stage and typically play Ho Hey, like at people. And we just, if we could make people turn their jaw, turn their head 90 or 180 degrees away, that was sort of our way to be like, listen, we just drove 10 hours through the night or whatever just to get to this gig, whether it was Philadelphia, whether it was the middle of Nebraska, wherever it was. We were like, you know, we have 45 minutes to make this, like, to make this work.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever going to care about your new band the way you do. So I think Wes shouted at people.
I wasn't going to win a singing contest, but I could shout. You know what I mean?
It was like a non-musical moment. Me and Wes also talked about this idea of non-musical moments, that it'd be pretty rare for someone to, like, go home and be like, I saw this band. They were so well rehearsed. You know,
that's a really great point. Like, so I've never thought that.
That was like our thesis, though. I mean, Jimi Hendrix lit his guitar on fire. You know, what did we do? We were never going to light our instruments on fire. I mean, we didn't have enough money.
We can't do backflips. So
I think it was like, what's a non-musical moment? And some bands that we were sort of like, you know, growing up with, so to speak, some people I feel like were like kind of criticizing, like, oh, you guys have a gimmick, you get off stage. And we're like, but I think it was cool. I mean, I was at a show at this place, a dive bar, literally called the High Dive in Denver, where we lived together for, you know, more than a decade. And I remember seeing this duo getting off stage, making like a circle around them and singing some like beautiful song. And it was this light bulb moment of, that was really interesting. I'll never forget that.
You're trying to, like you said, create those non-musical moments in ways that feel like at home to you. Cause like, if I can't do a backflip, so what can we, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's going to have their thing, but it was useful, and we're still trying to look for those moments, like in shows, you know.
You're listening to my conversation with the Lumineers. Keeping up a lifelong friendship is challenging enough without being in a band together. Coming up, Wes and Jeremiah will talk about how they've done it for decades, and they'll perform an exclusive live version of an older song of theirs. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to the World Cafe. My name is Raina Duris, joined today by the Lumineers, who have a new album called Automatic. We'll get back to my conversation with band members Wesley Schultz and Jeremiah Freites right after some more live music from them. This is the Lumineers performing their song Gloria from their 2019 album 3. in front of a live World Cafe audience.
Recorded live for the World Cafe by the Lumineers. That's from their 2019 album, 3. They have a new album out now called Automatic. I'm Raina Duris. Wesley and Jeremiah of the Lumineers are hanging out with me today. At this point in your career, you are 2 decades in. You know, it's a lot to stay good friends with someone for as long as you have been together as a band. But being bandmates adds another layer to that. How has your relationship changed since you started the band?
It's been like, I mean, it's 20 years. And we also grew up in the same hometown where he was friends with my younger brother. I was friends with his older brother. So it's like, I remember family trips where you and your brother came with us.
Vermont.
But I think like my take on that is, you know, we did so many things at a young age together. We used to joke, like we were living together out of necessity, living together. We had the same side jobs. Cause if you get a good side job, you get your buddy the side job. And now like you're at work together.
Literally like every free moment we like, worked around each other. We did that for probably, was it 7 years?
And shout out to your mom if she ever hears this. Mom and dad, especially Kathy, your mom was like always letting us play and make noise every hour of the day on this third floor, kind of like almost like an apartment for somebody.
Yeah, it's like attic space.
She let us just set up shop. We could record there. We could make noise there.
I was thinking it was almost like Outliers, like Malcolm Gladwell talks about the Beatles, or like I think Bill Gates was sneaking in, had this like really strange amount of time around computers. And I think that we had this strange amount of time around no boundary, no rules, workspace from, I mean, like literally 7 a.m. to like sundown, 8 p.m., whatever. We could just make noise. That's a huge like, privilege.
That's amazing, yeah.
To have access to that. Yeah. And then I was like, we had a rude awakening when I finally moved to New York, where it was just like, it was, so I would start commuting from the city to his house.
Right.
So it's like, it's a lot of like luck that way, like the right circumstances that allow you to get that much access to stuff.
Yeah,
there.
We were like, do we want a cool zip code or do we want to make it as a band? And we moved to Denver, Colorado, just out of sheer. It was way cheaper to live there a long time ago. But I mean, it's a pretty emotional day. The album is finally out. And the relationship has changed in many ways, I think, for me and Wes, that we each have kids, boy and girl. They're almost like identical in age.
Yeah, you both had kids like, during the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
At like the same time, basically.
Yeah, we have separate lives with like our families. And then me and Wes are sort of like, we're married to each other long before we met our respective wives. it's always like, and it's always a work in progress. I mean, I think that.
Well, also finding some space. I think when you're on top of like. Boss, when you're around each other for everything, you can't, like, there's a running joke when we moved to Denver, like, if you'd see one of us, you'd ask where the other one was. And, like, it's been really, fell in love with someone who's from Italy, so he moved with her back to her home city of Turin. And honestly, like, that's, I think, a really, when you have the luxury of sending voice notes to each other just by a click of a, you couldn't always do that. That's given, I think, us a longer, like, ability to have a friendship and, like, be able to work together in a healthy way because not everything is done together. You can't sustain that, I don't think, you know, with almost anything. Even if I've seen people like real marriages, like not musical marriages, where you go to, like, I don't know, say a random store and the husband and wife work there. And I'm like, I would never want that. Like, you know, like, it seems nice for a day. But it's nice to have your own lane and not be like, is he chewing his mouth open again?
Yeah,
like,
you bring whatever all, you're the just thing always is. There. Yeah. There's no.
So we found some space, and I think we honestly create a lot of random things on our own anyway and then come together to demo. So it kind of worked out, like, very luckily, because I think we're part of a rare thing where a band lasts like 20 years of writing together. And another 20 ahead of us. And like, that's because there's an element of like, you got to find your own lane and space or else you'll just hate each other.
I think what's really cool too is Wes really found some clever ways to talk about our personal relationship in very clever ways where, you know, if you were to listen to certain lyrics in isolation, you might be like, oh man, this guy thinks the relationship is bad. And if you listen to other ones, you'd be like, thinks it's great all the time. There's a song that comes to mind, You're All I Got, that Wes has this lyric, what is it, Siamese?
It's hard to breathe, yeah.
Yeah, Siamese connection, do you say, or just Siamese?
Just Siamese.
That was
it's hard to breathe. It's like, it kind of talks about like the struggles of like literally like, if I go this way, he feels it with this like rope. And sometimes it's almost like the rope has like a barb in Wes's stomach and vice versa. He wants to go left and I'm like, I want to go right. And I think that is a true example, though, of a really hard but really, like, beautiful relationship of 20 years. Like, there are moments that it's so difficult to be, like, to have this. And then there's, like, these moments where you're like, wow, like, look what we make together. Not only just musically, but, like, look at the shows, look at this album, look at a lot of stuff. And I think it's a very, like, authentic relationship where what relationship do you have that it's easy all the time?
We're going to finish with You're All I Got and hear you guys perform that. But before we hear that, not to get too sappy, but I did want to ask you, Jer, what's your favorite thing about Wes? Wes, what's your favorite thing about Jer?
That's a good question.
It's like therapy. We did this one time in therapy. I forget my answer, though.
I mean, so non-musical?
It can be anything you want.
Great, let me think. I don't know. I would say Wes's honesty. I think that Wes has this ability to be sometimes too honest.
I agree.
Wes is very honest and I think very direct. And I think that that's really appreciated in the big picture of things, in the grand scheme of a relationship, in the grand scheme of running a business with someone, in the grand scheme of being friends with someone and sharing so much. It really is like healthy and helpful, and it's pretty rare, I think, for people. We all sort of design our avatar in the way we want to be seen by other people. It's called looking glass self. I think I was a sociology major, so I love that idea. We sort of construct our personalities the way we want other people mm-hmm. to perceive us. And I think, to credit Wes, I think that he's just is who he is and wants to be authentic. And I think that that's really cool in this modern era.
Thanks, so. Man. That's very nice. Isn't it? Really appreciate it.
Okay, Wes, your turn.
No pressure.
I mean, there's like, I could go the musical direction, which is just that he's, I've never met somebody who's, he taught himself piano since I've known him music. Like, so in 20 years, he's now gotten so good at piano and artistic with it that there's like there's two albums behind it and, you know, movie soundtracks to come and things like that. But I think part, like an underrated part of people is their sense of humor. And like Jairus has this ability to like say something that shouldn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense to everybody. Like giving people nicknames or all of our Wi-Fi passwords are based on things Jairus said.
Can you give us one?
It's very inappropriate. I can't do it on this. But it's like, it's.
I have a knack for messing up adages and expressions. Like, I'll say, it's like bridge underwater. And I'll say that, like, without thinking about it. And I think there's
like,
even.
It stinks to high hell in here. And we're like, no, it's heaven. But most of them I can't really share here. But they're all great. They're all great.
They're like PC. They're
no, just, I don't mean they're like.
No,
it's
no,
just
I hear
like
you.
Not. Yeah.
He's a maniac.
Yeah. He's so inappropriate. He's edgier than.
We're getting Jeremiah canceled on it. Yeah. So we're going to hear You're All I Got perform live next. Before we hear it, real quick, is there anything else you want to tell us about this song?
I mean, it was cool. Jer sent me this voice note, and in it, he sang You're All I Got. And he's not, like, primarily a singer. It's but, like, he can hit the notes, you know, most of the time. And it's like I could hear exactly what he was doing. And I was like, wow, that's kind of, there are a lot of, for example, like Bob Dylan songs where he says these things that we all say all the time, but when they say them the right way with the right melody and the right moment, it's like, it's profound. That encapsulated a lot for me, not only between me and him, but I'm sure with our prospective children and our, you know, our wives. But I just remember feeling like, you mentioned it earlier, but you're sort of, when you truly love someone, and you start to like need them because you love them so much. That's a very uncomfortable feeling if they're ever in danger or you're in danger of losing that relationship. Like something as simple as your kid crossing the street mm-hmm. ahead of you, too far ahead. That's your all I got. Like, it's very inconvenient to love someone this much. Like, but it's also the highest of highs.
Man, that's really interesting that's, you say that. I had such a, it's like a dark, heavy thought, but as soon as my son was born, I said to a buddy, I was like, no matter what, at this point, if anything ever happens to him or to me prematurely, one life will be like forever, like ruined and just like,
yeah. And that's like, I you're mean, tethered. To,
yeah. You're just like, yeah. Whoa. Like, I hope that he lives long life and I go, you know, way before he ever does. And it's an intense, but very real thought.
Yeah. Here's the Lumineers performing it live. This is You're All I Got.
Count the blows you took like a champ. All the years we walked hand in hand. Sigh means it's hard to breathe in 20 years and no one gives a damn. Let the light come down on me. Let the light come down on me. Feel more than running from the shame. Living for love yesterday.
Lord, your feet stretch limousines. Pull the cord and flush down the drain. Let the light come down on me. Let the light come down on me.
So much.
The Lumineers live for World Cafe. That was You're All I Got. It's a song from their new album, Automatic. Jeremiah Freights and Wesley Schultz of the Lumineers have been my guests on the show today. It has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
It's been really nice. I'm Rena Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a session with the Lumineers. You can also find that on our podcast. It's World Cafe, wherever you find your podcasts. And you can watch that interview and those performances. The full video is at worldcafe.org and also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/worldcafe. So you can listen and you can look. This is Look It Here from Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
Okay. let it be. Look at here, baby, it's all I got. One more time, give me all, yeah.
Baby, I'm coming on.
That's The Who with Substitute.
Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting is generously supported by the city of Sandpoint. Sandpoint is a first-class city in the Aleutians East Borough, located on Humboldt Harbor on the northwestern Popoff Island. Anchorage is 575 nautical miles to the northeast. The Sandpoint City Council meets the second Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. in the City Hall Council Chambers. Contact the City of Sandpoint by calling 907-383-2696, emailing sptcity@arctic.net, or visiting their website at sandpointak.com.
Why not make it now with the morning stars? Hey, you pretty laddie boys, you better make it now with the morning stars. Everybody young and old, you better join us in twisting your cares away. Now the atmosphere's okay, why not make it now with the morning stars? I go gay with the one you love. I say caress and kiss the one you love. I'm go get wildly twist with the morning star. I'm go get wildly twist with the morning star.